Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and, frankly, appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
J to the C, as a matter of fact.
Le bébé de le J de le C.
C'est moi. J.
J de la Z.
J de la C.
Oh, shut up. Just shut up.
We're allowed to speak other languages, aren't we?
Ferme-la, Sharms. Ferme-la. Ferme-la.
What does that mean?
Just shut it.
Shut it.
Oh, yeah? Shut your fucking mouth.
Can you believe I took 3 years of French in English high school?
Yes, I actually can.
I don't know a word of it. I know. It's pathetic, eh?
You actually know more than most people, so you're doing okay.
Is there one language that you wish you knew?
Yeah.
Yeah, Spanish.
Yeah. Language of love. The language of love.
Mm-hmm. Si.
Yeah, that'd be the one, right? Although I wouldn't mind an Asian language of some sort. Mandarin, Cantonese would be pretty handy.
Mm. Right? True.
Mandarin?
Yeah.
You're just getting greedy, I feel like. Just pick one.
Pick one? are they really different? Are they?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You know, learning Welsh should be handy as well, wouldn't it? Very handy globally.
Yep.
If you have, like, you know, you're fluent in Welsh in your resume, hired.
I always really liked Gaelic.
I think it's pretty niche.
Gaelic too? What's more niche, Ooh. Gaelic or Welsh?
Which one's more fun?
Gaelic sounds hornier.
Hey, it's Footy Prime, everyone. Craig Forrest is here. Hey, Craig.
Hey, guys.
Amy Walsh. Hey, Amy.
Salut, Sharms.
Je suis la bibliothèque. Wong is here. Hey, Wong.
Hola.
JC is here.
¿Cómo está?
And Jimmy Brennan's here.
Hello.
We've got a guest today. Not the first time he's been on this show, but he's one of my favorite guests. And I have a bunch of questions. But one in particular I want to discuss with you guys first. Is it time we can address it with him? Our guest is Stephen Hart, right? Legend of Canadian football, all levels, okay? Has enough water crossed under the bridge to discuss Honduras 2012? And actually, what happened in that room? I'm just curious, like genuinely. I think the listeners want to know. I think it's been 12 years. It's time. Don't you, Jimmy?
Yeah. Let's do it. I'm interested.
Okay. Now, he can actually hear this right now, so he might be jumping off.
Well, I was going to say, he's
giving it an opportunity to bail.
He's like, oh, my connection's not so good. Can't make it, you guys.
That's why I look so dumbfounded, because I was like, this guy's just jumped off already. He's gone.
Yeah. Did you just say dumbfounded?
Dumbfounded.
But, I mean, there's so much to get to. Obviously, we'll get to that now, because I've set it up right. But also, I want to talk about the games coming up for Canada, right? We have France announced officially now in the same week as the Dutch game. That's incredible. Suddenly 2024 looks pretty good from a match standpoint for Canada. We'll get into that. And also the search for the the new head coach, if there's a search or whether it's Morrow. We'll get Stephen's thoughts on that as well. So let's bring him in, shall we? Stephen Hart. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
And you didn't leave.
Yeah.
I know. No, yeah.
Hardy, is it foggy out there?
You know what? I was trying to
figure out. Do you have your window open?
I don't know what's going on with my camera here. I don't know. Maybe it's trying to do everybody a favor and kind of blur my face.
You've got no wrinkles, Steve. You've got no wrinkles whatsoever. You're shiny out there.
That Halifax fog was coming in.
Well, that's a regular thing. So
it's smoky lens.
It's the old Vaseline trick, right? You put Vaseline on the lens.
And I don't know what it is. I just kind of noticed it when I logged on earlier.
Either that or you hotbox his room.
Nice. Oh boy,
Stephen. Anyway, listen to the important stuff. As I just mentioned, there, Canada have announced another friendly. France, head of the Netherlands, head of Copa America, where they play, of course, Argentina, Peru, Chile, maybe more, and then later in the year, USA, Mexico. So as a former coach, someone that knows this program inside and out, given the quality of those teams, do results actually matter, or is it more performance showing progress for this group? Because they could lose all those games quite possibly. Let's be honest.
No, I think it's a performance thing. To be honest, I'm a little surprised of the selection of opposition, considering we're playing sort of South American style teams, for lack of a better term, even though, everybody seems to play the same nowadays. But yeah, I'm a little surprised, but those are great games. And you're really going to get a measure of where you're at in terms of your performances. Canada hasn't played games like that if we put aside the World Cup, we haven't played any games like that at all, really. So it's an interesting matchup.
Interesting is a good way to put it. It certainly is, right? I mean, let's be honest. These are major challenges. And they're going to be fun for the fans, no matter. But the sidebar to this is they still haven't got a full-time coach. Mauro Biello is still interim manager officially. Is it important they get a full-time coach or determine whether it's Mauro or not by Copa America? Or do you think they can, just push through that and then address it later this summer?
Well, I think a decision has to be made. It'd be nice to have a full-time coach. You know, this is what we have. This is what we're going to be, the project going forward, because we already know we're going to be in the World Cup. Let's get on with it. And regardless of who it is, make a decision and let the person go to work.
So you think it's important that we do that before Copa America?
Well, look, it's not like the team is in campo or something at the moment. The players have to come in. Even Mauro, he wouldn't know what he's getting. It's the end of the season. There's going to be a lot of hiccups, players getting injured, players tired, et cetera, et cetera. And he'll have basically the same job on his hands. The only advantage he would have is he's worked with the players before. He's been with the squad a very long time. My view is he qualified the team, let him get on with it and then make a decision,
Hardy, how difficult is it as a manager who has that interim position right now, who wants the job, who knows that other candidates are getting interviewed right now? What's the emotions going through Mauro's head right now?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, I was the interim, I don't know, about seven times. Seriously, I was the interim twice. And I really wasn't thinking about if I would get the job or not get the job. I was just thinking I got a job to do. And I'm going to get on with it in my way. And I think he would probably have the same approach, because it's completely out of his control if he gets a job or not.
But we were talking earlier on, Stephen, about those games, and you said performance probably matters more than results. But from Mauro's perspective, if he's kept on as interim through those friendlies, through Copa America, the results do matter because it was an audition of sorts to get the team into Copa, to see them through against Trinidad and Tobago, which I'm sure was difficult for you to watch in a certain regard. But the results will matter for Mauro, right? Whether a decision's made after the tournament?
Well, he will certainly feel so. When the question was posed to me, I just gave the answer. I would like to see performances because let's face it, you know, and I've said it a number of times, football is a bit of a lie. You can perform very, very well and not get a result, and you can perform poorly and get a result. You know what I mean? So, you know, are we going to say that he goes into those games, performs poorly, gets a result here, you know, pulls off a tie here or something, and then say, well, oof, good job. You know, I would like to see a performance in how the team plays. Now, you know, us here who've been in the game a long time could look at a game and say, oof, you know, they did everything possible. Let's take the Belgium game in the World Cup, for example. You know, that was a really good performance as far as I'm concerned, you know, and they didn't get the result. So, I don't know. It's 6 of 1 and half a dozen of the other for me. But I think you're right, Amy. It's going to be a situation where he's going to be judged by the fans on the results. You always are.
When you look at the candidates for this job, right? I know Frank Lampard withdrew his name last week from apparently he had conversations with Canada Soccer, actually, according to some reports. We had heard that Thierry Henry would be open to a meeting as well at some point. Big names with very questionable CVs. When you compare those candidates, that kind of candidate, compared to a more established Canadian candidate, a Bobby Smyrniotis, a Tommy Wilden Jr. type of coach, who would be, you would think, more long-term, where do you sit on there right now? Is being a salesman like an Henry or a Lampard important, or is it, let's establish the program here with someone that knows the landscape?
Well, let's face it, guys. Lampard and Henry are theories. You know, it's not like they're coming in with a, you know, they've done national teams and done very well. And, you know, they're a theory. And it's more like the name being presented and sort of quelling the noise of the fans and the football public than making a decision that's going to say, yes, this is the person that can do the job, you know. And then when if it's a local name, a Canadian name, the same questions are going to be, you know, what experience do they have? They haven't been around the national team, et cetera, et cetera. Again, the names that are being brought forward, the Canadian coaches have a good idea, a good sort of understanding of the team, of the environment, of our culture and how we work. And then on the other end, you have some coaches being presented that are from backgrounds and environments that they're going to have a certain level of expectation about standards and what is needed, you know, and that in itself brings a lot of problems. It asks a lot of questions of the association, and maybe that's why some of them jump ship already.
Stephen, don't you think? I mean, there's a part of this too that, especially with big names like that and Frank Lampard, his agent as well. These guys are, you know, throwing these names around, and it's kind of hard to understand what is actually true and what is not. What's this is sort of these agents trying to say, hey, listen, my guys suck, but there's still lots of people looking at them and they're really sought after. And this is why, you know, Frank Lampard makes a stand where I'm not going to, you know, be, I'm not interested in the Canadian job right now, blah, blah, blah. It might not even be true, but what do you think about tournament format and tournament experience as a coach? How important is that when you're trying to get a team ready for a World Cup?
Well, tournament format is big time. You know, I had a chat with Jimmy about that. I've been involved in, I think, five, maybe more Gold Cups. And that sort of tournament setting in itself carries with it not only some detailed sort of planning, but an understanding of the changing of environments that you're going to go through in playing in the Copa America. So I think it's important that that the person does have some sort of idea about tournaments and how to be in a sort of tournament setting. If we look at Henri, for example, he's been involved in with Belgium, I think, in a Copa, Europa and
World Cup.
So he would have an understanding of that. But the way that the tournament is set up, if we're talking about the Copa America, very much like the Gold Cup, jumping from city to city, and it takes a lot out of you, and not only that, it takes a lot of planning, because your sort of rest and recovery and training sessions are squashed into such a tight time space. You're more sort of managing recovery really than preparing for games.
How difficult is that to when you're trying to prepare as a coach for when you're getting these players in just periodically? You have 3 or 4 days to prepare for a game. How difficult is that really?
It's challenging. If you're speaking about how I went about it, I try to always make players as comfortable as possible and relaxed as possible and do everything to sort of take away the stress of, you know, having to jump on a plane and jump off a plane and then go to a different training ground and hotel, et cetera, et cetera. So it's one of those things that you also need players that are comfortable with that sort of environment. There's some players and some countries that do not travel well. They do not deal with that very well, you know, and you end up in a situation where players just want to get it over with, you know. So it takes a lot of man management, for lack of a better word, and really the training and the preparation for each game is minimal, in the sense that it's more a matter of you're hoping you get your selection right and they could carry out their individual roles and responsibilities.
As Canadian coach, though, how much of the job is, besides scouting and coaching, is navigating that political landscape from the provincial level to the club level? Is it encompassing?
It's probably like a minefield to me. I was in a very different time, you know. My budget to run the entire program was less than $1 million, I think, you know, and that was everything: player salaries, games, staff, everything. And I wanted to have an extra masseur, so physiotherapist. I would have to drop somebody from the staff because they only allowed me to have 9 or 10 staff. And I mean, social media was just coming on board then, and people were like, why does he need 10 staff? You know, now they have 20 something staff, you know, they've got a manager for the staff. So it's a very, very different time frame. And just getting the most basic needs was, you know, it was a nightmare. But, you know, when I sat down with the staff and I, you know, we used to say, look, this is what we have. Let's get on with it. You know, no moaning about it, and just try to make the players as comfortable as possible. Because a lot of the players, and I can only talk about my time, but it'd be the same now. A lot of the players had standards that they were accustomed to. And when you're accustomed to certain standards, it's hard to go back. You know, none of us here are going to go back to black and white TV. Or outside toilets, for that matter. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen.
I like a good outside toilet, but that just comes alleyway for me. Ask Craig.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's one of those situations where I thought the players that I had dealt with it really, really well. They, you know, they would complain about certain things, but they understood that it was just not going to happen, and they were just happy to represent the country as best they could.
Stephen, I want to go back to what you said about Lampard and Henri and those candidates, and you might think that we've already talked enough about those candidates or those roles for the full head coach job, but I loved what you said about those names being a theory. And it makes me think sometimes of these studies that are done about, heart conditions or these new diets, and you dive down into it after you get beyond the sensationalistic headline. And it was done on like 12 people, and they just pulled some tiny line out of it and made that the headline. And I feel like that's what these appointments would be. It would be the shiny object. It would be a huge buzz. But then there would be the let off and the letdown afterwards, because then you would come to terms with the fact that they don't have very much international experience as head coaches. They certainly had it as players, but it haven't been able to translate it into success as coaches. So do you think that there's a reluctance from Canada Soccer to put in the practical, sensible choice that would make sense in the long term? Do you think that there's a reluctance from them to do it, or say from Kevin Blue's perspective, to put somebody in that maybe doesn't get that headline, but when you dive deep into the article, it does make a whole lot of sense?
Yes. I think, look, social media is the biggest cancer that we have in professional sport at the moment. And if you're reading that, go for the popular one, you know, unless you are strong-willed, you know, you have a vision of what you want, and I'm going to go with that, support that person, and see how it goes. Because on the same token, Amy, I mean, one of those guys could come in and have success, have great success. You never know. I mean, John Herdman and social media took a lot of stick when he was appointed. You know, let's face it. So, I think if you stay off those platforms, you have good people around you that are not yes people, that are people that are allowed to say what they believe, and I think that would help make, you know, the best possible decision.
Footy_prime on Twitter and Footy Prime IG on Instagram. Make sure you like and follow us on all social media platforms. Thank you very much. All right, Stephen. So this team, I think some people might overrate it a little bit to a certain degree, but there's some significant talent on this side.
I thought you were talking about us.
Oh, no, really not. There's some issues, some character issues, and there's a, but when you look at the quality on this team,
cash flow, budget management.
Hey, I tell you what, I got to stop there. Forrest, you killed me, by the way, when you went, as an agent, my clients suck, but I'm going to put their name in the hat.
I was going to comment about that, but I let it slide.
Don't let it slide, Steve. Don't let it slide.
That's what our agent would be saying about us. These guys stink, but let's just put them up.
Doesn't Forrest represent you, Jimmy? Trying to get another head coach job? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you put him up for the Wales job.
So, yeah, so as I was saying, so obviously it's a team with some quality. There's no doubt about that. We've seen some good performances, but although in fairness, not for some time. What should the expectations be prior to Copa, do you think?
Well, you know what? This team, you know, if you look at it from a coach perspective, it's almost envious. You know, it has some quality. There's no doubt about that. There's a few missing pieces, but, I mean, which team doesn't have that sort of, you know, problem? You sort of hope that the balance is more towards good quality and you can cover up your weaknesses, you know? I mean, yeah, people are going to say the team is overrated. They're going to judge them on their World Cup performances. They're going to judge them on the Jamaica games, on the Trinidad and Tobago game, etc. But those games are more difficult than people give them credit for. Craig and Amy and Jimmy, they've all played in CONCACAF, you know? And they're in a situation where I think they just need to get that togetherness back again. And that team can have some very good results and cause a lot of problems. But it remains to be seen who is actually selected. There's a lot of factors involved. We don't have a lot of depth. We have more than we used to have in the past, but we don't have a lot of depth in certain key positions.
Sorry, I thought you were jumping in there, Craig. Not to worry. No, you're right. And we know where the quality is in that particular team. Do you think leadership is an issue since Atiba stepped aside? Stefan Eustachio took the armband last match, and we know what he's done, you know, in European football. But Atiba was a leader of men, as they say, right? You know him very, very well. Is that, how important is it to find that within that squad?
I think it's extremely important, you know, because as a coach, you depend heavily on leadership in the dressing room. And leadership comes in many different ways. In my time, I had players that would lead, you know, by just the way they got out and performed. You know, they will not accept a drop in standards, right? And then you have leaders that are going to pull up on behavior off of the field, behavior in the dressing room. And then again, you have leaders that would simply carry out the instructions or make adjustments on the field. You know, because most of the time, if you wait till halftime, you're in trouble, and you should have players that can read the situation, make adjustments, and then justify it to you when you come in at halftime or even after the game. You know, it's essential.
I've got a question about a couple weeks ago, Copa America qualifying, Steve. Your homeland and your chosen land were playing against each other.
Yeah.
How do you watch that game? Who, like, are you you've got one flag on one side, one on the other, and you're chewing both sides of your nails? Or are you just looking for a great match?
Not a chance, you know, popcorn and a beer. I mean,
what kind of beer?
I actually don't drink beer. Oh. But it was available. But yeah, I don't really get that emotional over the team's playing. I want to see a good game. I want to be entertained, and I actually watched it with a bunch of friends, all of them who, you know, they're in one way or the other. None of us were born here. And we're watching the game, and, you know, it's the usual thing. Comments are flying left, right, and center. But I just wanted to see a really good, a a really good performance. And I knew, you know, I don't know the Canada team very well in terms of knowing the players, but I knew the players from Trinidad and Tobago because I'm not that long removed from them. But I thought the game was tighter than I expected, to be honest.
I haven't seen Trinidad and Tobago actually that before for an awful long time. What's going on in that country? Because I texted Shaka Hislop and was like, what's going on? I've never seen a Trinidad and Tobago side. Like, where are all these great players that we saw for generations after generations? It just doesn't seem to be happening at the moment with Trinidad.
No, it's they're struggling. They're struggling administratively. They're struggling in player development. Look, when Trinidad and Tobago qualified for World Cup 2006, they had 26 players in the UK alone. We're not talking about Europe, just in the UK alone. Now they don't have one. Not one.
There you go.
You know? And they have one player in Europe. He was the player, arguably, that gave Canada the most fits, which is Garcia, you know? But yeah, their player development went off the rails some time ago, and they're struggling to pull it together. And it's difficult for countries like Trinidad and Tobago because, unlike Jamaica, they don't have the same. They can't go and get players that are, you know, sort of born in England or born abroad. The citizenship. How you get citizenship is a little more complex. So that sort of keeps them back.
All right, Stephen, time to put your coaching hat on here. I want you to assume that you're taking the helm for Canada at Copa America, okay? How do you set up against Argentina and Lionel Messi?
First to begin, if I knew how to stop Messi, I wouldn't be on this podcast right now.
We still invite you. Your people would say, no, he's busy.
I had that opportunity to try and stop. Actually, he didn't score against us, so I'm proud of that. But no, I think when I look at the makeup of the team, I'm not a big fan at the three in the back. I find it gives us the back line. If you look at the problems that we have, it always seems to be we're not prepared to deal with the counterattack. You know, with the counterattack is constantly putting us under a lot of pressure. Right. And sometimes I think it, you know, it's mainly because we don't have that balance when we're attacking. It's almost like we're most vulnerable when we actually have the ball, you know. So, you know, you think I personally think it's a double problem. It's a midfield balance problem where I like my holding midfielder, for the lack of a better word, to play that position, hold it, just be available sort of thing. And then to create the balance defensively. And I think that's where the team is having problems. The other thing is maybe it's back to leadership. I don't know. But the other thing is we play with a very high line at times, and we're not getting pressure on the ball quick enough. And then one ball behind is killing us, you know? So you can't play with a high line and not be getting pressure on the ball with the right timing. You know, and sometimes what people see as pressure on the ball is not pressure at all in the modern game. Three yards away from the person on the ball is not pressure, you know. And I think it's a time. I always think defending is more about being on time, you know, and you defend the ball first and foremost. And we're having problems with that. And the counterattack is absolutely killing us, you know. And I think at times we're very fortunate in that we didn't get scored on in the Trinidad and Tobago game. You know, if you take the first Jamaica game, for example, we should have been 3-0 down in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where, you know, I get back to performance versus result. So we should have been down. We end up winning the game. And it almost seems like, whoa, everything was all right. You know, and I disagreed with that.
It's interesting, though, because you're talking about lack of depth at certain positions, a high back line, missing maybe that holding midfielder profile type. But if you're going to play a high line, you don't have pressure on the ball. As you said, that's problematic. But that's not a personnel thing. That's a commitment thing. Yeah. Is that a coaching thing? So what do you think is going on there? Why is there that disconnect?
Well, again, it's if I'm playing in a back line, and Jimmy will tell you, you know, Craig will tell you, if I'm playing in that situation and one ball is just easily played behind the line, I'm going to start to ask questions to people in front of me, you know, and I'm going to demand it, you know, and I will not say there's a modern coach coaching today at that level that hasn't prepared and said, listen, you guys have got to get up on the ball and blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't think it's a, you know, it's a coaching issue. I think it's a lack of somebody saying and going ballistic on the people who didn't do their job. Mm-hmm. You know, I really do. Do your damn job.
Yeah, there really is a position there where it's a lack of accountability, and then that's where the players have to demand. There's only so much. Always feel that the coaches get a lot of credit, probably so maybe more than they sometimes deserve, and then the Correct. Criticism is more than they deserve, and it's somewhere in between there. But the players, there's a reason why clubs pay hundreds of millions for these top players, because it is inevitably about players and characters of those players. And that's really, really important. That is one thing that we always used to have with our national teams. We lack ability and creativity going forward, but defensively, we held each other accountable. And that was from the front to the back. And we did well defensively. And they seem to be missing that little bit of extra, you know, accountability and character that should be opposed, brought on by the players as opposed to the coach.
And especially if you know you, let's face it, we're lacking a bit of pace at the back. You know what I mean? So, you know, you would think even more. My dad was a goalkeeper, and he said, people said I was a good goalkeeper. He goes, there's none of that. I just didn't allow shots to come in. I made sure my defenders did their damn job. You know? I think it's a bit of that. I would like to see some of the players get more upset with some of the, I don't care who the player is, for not doing their job. Yeah. You know? And there's been times, I think it was the one of the goals against Jamaica, if it's the first or the second at home, where we lost the ball, and I think both fullbacks were, we lost the ball in our half of the pitch, and both fullbacks were probably in the opposition half of the pitch at the same time. Yeah. You know, how does that happen?
Yeah, I agree with you, Hardy. And I think too, with it's the modern day football as well, where when in possession, you start to see your center backs moving forward. You start to see the fullbacks bombing on as much as they can. But the issue that I have with the defenders at the moment is they don't sense the danger. They never sense danger. So as we start going forward, the ball's getting played into midfield. They tend to ball watch a little bit for me. And they drift. They drift with the play. And forgetting about, what if we lose this? What happens? Are we organized? Are we disciplined enough? And that's why we get caught out so many times. It's ridiculous. Because they never sense it.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
And in tournament football, we, you know, losing or not losing or playing not to lose is sometimes very, very important. And if you find yourself a goal down on a sloppy play and a one ball over the top kills you, that's going to put you behind. You drop behind against good teams too. You try to break them down after the fact is going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, France, the Netherlands, and Argentina don't move the ball very quickly. So
average teams.
Average teams.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
All right, Stephen. So I teased this off the top, right? And I think given the success in recent last couple of years for Canada's men's team, a lot of fans' stance on what happened in Honduras all those years ago now somewhat softened. I think, though, there's a book in there somewhere. I really do. I've always thought this. To break down what happened before the match, in the room at halftime, what happened. I mean, it's a long time ago now. I don't mean to force you to revisit it, but I kind of am. How's your mindset when you look back on that game now compared to when it was so fresh?
Look, the story does not start in Honduras, right? It does not start in Honduras. As a staff, Tony, myself, you know, Paul, we knew we were in trouble, right? We knew we were in trouble. We had, just to go back, to go forward, to go back or whatever. Up until that game, we had given up two goals in the qualification, three goals maybe, right? Up until that game, right? And we were having a really good run earlier, like a year earlier, but then things started to happen. We lost Ali Gerber, was in contractual problems with his club and wasn't playing any football, right? Rob Friend did his Achilles. He was gone. Josh Simpson broke his leg. Patrice Bernier had a broken leg. You know, so the quality that we had, we were trying to bring on young players, but they weren't ready. They weren't really ready. They didn't know that, but we knew it, you know? Jimmy had retired. Well, Jimmy didn't play much for me anyway. He binned me. But
he says that you binned him.
No.
He still gets mad at me. That was that time, that spell with Toronto FC, and I said I had to stay.
Yeah, he was on a big billboard in Toronto. He was the face of TFC.
I regret it.
Do you know, given that result?
Yeah, I would have played it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, so the things were starting to happen. So we beat Panama at home, and the game against Honduras at home, we should have won in the last 10 minutes of the game. Go back and watch that. Some of the misses in the last 5-10 minutes of that game were glaring, you know? Simeon, well, I shouldn't really call names, but players missed golden opportunities, and we would not have had we would not have needed a result in Honduras. But anyway, that being said, as I said, things started to happen, and we knew the squad was depleting slowly but surely. No depth. We were struggling to hang on. Then we went down to Panama, that famous game with the fiasco outside the hotel. We go down to Panama, and it was, you know, it was one of those situations. Tony and myself had talked about it. We had planned that we would start doing where he was playing, which was out on the left, and then we would move Dwayne into the striking position. Good. We get down to Panama, the game starts, boom, the lights go off. And we were in a nice rhythm. We were in a nice rhythm. The lights go off for 20-something minutes, right? And as the game comes back on, or maybe just before that, Dwayne gets injured. So Dwayne's out now, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, okay, I accept the responsibility for what happened, but we knew we were in some kind of trouble. Things were just happening, and the squad was getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And we lost, I think, 2-1 in Panama or 2-0, I can't remember. Now it's time to go Honduras. We get a charter jet. First time, the thing is like 14 hours delayed. We're sitting in a cramped room with one pot of coffee because a charter thing. No food. It was just a nightmare. So we land in Honduras. There's nowhere to... We can't train anywhere. We can't go to any train. We gone on the rooftop of the hotel and did some stretching. You know? Uh-huh. Then Ante calls me and he said, I can't make him sick. Right? Ante Jazzy. He says, I'm sick. I said, well, let's see how you feel. You know, you're trying to keep people up. He's out. Then McKenna calls. McKenna says, I'm sick. I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know, it's, I said, Kev, you have to play. Because, Paul Stalteri was out as well. He had a hip issue. So we start juggling the team. We moved, I think, David Edgar to right back. We're trying to plug holes here. And we get into the game, and it just seems like the players are looking around, they're looking at the squad. You know deep down that they could feel what we are feeling. They know, they can sense it. All the leadership is gone from the team. The attacking threat is gone from the team. We were struggling to score goals anyway. You know, luckily Patrice was now coming back. I think he played one game on his way back, and I played him in the Cuba game. In hindsight, maybe I should have just started him in the Honduras game, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. The confidence in each other, the confidence in the team just wasn't there. And it just seems that every time they came forward and took a shot, it went in the net. You know, things were just happening that's unexplainable. And they played a very direct game, Honduras, which, you know, it didn't really surprise me, but I didn't think they were going to do that at home. You know, I really didn't think they were going to do that at home. Things just fell apart. So to get to the dressing room, we're 4-0 down. And somebody comes and says something to me about a comment that was made by one of the players on TV. And, you know, but at that time, I'm not paying any attention to anything like that. And I'm going in the dressing room, and you have a thought on your mind, right? Is it damage control? Because we're out of the world, the hex at this point. It's 4-0. Is it damage control? And I said to myself, you know what? You've never been a coward. Let's, you know, let's go and at least put on a fight, get a goal or two, and gain some sort of respectability.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
One of the toughest places too to go when they are buzzing, and that is Honduras. When that team is flying high, the stadium is absolutely—it's hard to explain, but it puts a lot of pressure on the opposition, lots of pressure on the referees, the officials. It is a lion's den, and this group of players that we saw qualify for the World Cup never really had that in Honduras because I think the stadium was half closed. They weren't doing well. They had just elected a female president when they went down there. That was a big deal. Their team was slacking. And when they go sideways, they obviously don't support them in the same level. But when they are flying, and they traditionally have very, very good players, very good international players that know how to play, people don't realize how difficult that place is at the best of times.
Yeah, and they oversold the stadium. It was unbelievable in there. You know, but that... You know, that's neither here nor there. It was one of those situations. They had a hell of a team. You know, I mean, they had the Palacios brothers and they had a hell of a team.
Yeah.
But they weren't playing well. If anybody goes back and watch the game in Toronto, they had one shot the entire game. One shot and it sailed over the bar, you know. And I think we had something ridiculous like 13 corners or something like that. Something ridiculous like that. But anyway, so you get in the dressing room, and that was my mindset. I said, I am not going to show fear to the players. I'm going to say, we owe it to the fans to come out and put down a fight. And I'll tell you the one thing I learned from that. You know that saying that whether you lose 1-0 or lose 4-0, it doesn't matter? Bullshit.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was... And you know, to be fair, some of the players, some of them that weren't feeling up to it, they tried to put up a good face and fight the game. But and the other thing that caught us by surprise was they put the game at 2:00 in the afternoon. Right? Originally, they said that all the games were going to be played at the same time. They were going to be played at, I think, 6:00 or whatever. But then CONCACAF somehow found out that Cuba had no lights, right? So they put the Cuba game for 4:00, which means it's 2:00 in Honduras. And we are saying, but when we were in Cuba, they had lights. Their game played at 1:00. When we played them, we played at 1:00 in the afternoon. But they have lights, but they got no bulbs. They don't work. So... The game played at 2:00, and it was cooking, you know, and you know, no excuse. We fell apart. Everything fell apart, and when you look down the bench, not one player is looking at you, you know, except Ian Hume.
How did he deal with it? Not well, I imagine.
He wanted on badly, and I said, you know, I threw him on. I threw him, and we were so out of finding players. I had to bring Cavanelli. I think it ended up being his debut or something like that, and just throwing him on the field. I think I put him and Hume on up front. I can't remember, and Hume scored a free kick. And funny enough, they're leading, like, I don't know how much they were leading by, and Hume scores a free kick, and the whole stadium got quiet, you know? I don't know if they were thankful we actually scored a goal or what, you know? But it was sheer embarrassment. It's something you're never going to accept or live down. And it was, you know, up to this day, it's extremely painful to think about. And the funny thing is, I got the job with Trinidad and Tobago maybe 6 months after, maybe more, maybe 8 months after. Get to the Gold Cup. Who do we draw? Honduras in our group. And the Honduras media were all over me.
I bet.
All over me at the Gold Cup. They are all over me. And let me tell you, coaching Trinidad and Tobago is not like coaching Canada. Well, at that time. I was coaching Canada at that time. I could walk down Yonge Street and people would be pushing me out of the way. You know what I mean? Trinidad and Tobago, you lose a game, you don't go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. You know? So anyway, we drew them, the Honduras thing. Honduras in your group, the media, you know, half of them are not being rude. They were polite, but they wanted to talk about that game. And if I wanted revenge, and I'm thinking it's a completely different team. It's a completely different tournament. That's over. You know, and so we ended up playing them and beating them in the Gold Cup to get us to the quarterfinal. But yeah, it was painful. It still is painful. And at the time, you know, a lot of what you're thinking, what you're going to say to the media, and I was more concerned for my, you know, as I said, social media was, you know, now coming on board, and I was more concerned for what my children would probably go through at school or whatever than anything else.
Well, you paint the picture brilliantly, Stephen. You really do. I mean, it was a moment in Canadian football, but I think people are really curious as to the inside story, and that was fantastic.
Brilliant. It's
a long time ago now.
Also, I think Steve owes us, I think, what are we, $250 per hour? That was the longest therapy world ever. So I think Steve will accept a check. $250, we take Visa. Because it's still painful, and we'll book for next week.
He does seem lighter, though. He looks lighter.
He does.
The mist is clearing on the camera now as well.
Yeah, the lens is clear. It's true.
I talked about it before. Come on.
I know.
The black cloud is lifting.
I left some things out in that interview that I said here, but yeah, you know.
We draw information out of people. That's what we do.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you something, though. If I could have, I would have put on a pair of boots and go play in that game. I'd have gone and kicked somebody.
Yeah. I would have loved that if you subbed yourself on.
Player manager.
But then Hubie's on the bench going, Hardy, put me in. No, son, I'm going.
You cocksuckers. I'm coming on now.
Just kick somebody, for Christ's sake.
I wish I had a picture of the look on Hubie's face. You know, he wanted in so bad. And the funny thing is, you know, he always told me, I don't deal with heat well. But he wanted to get on there.
Says the guy that moved to India to play.
I know. That's the first thing I thought of when he was moving to India. I thought, damn, the food must be good.
I could see Hardy. I could see Hume annoying you. I annoyed you one game as well when I was on the bench.
I was the assistant then. I wasn't the coach.
You were the assistant. I kept on looking down the bench. I was like, Hardy, you need me. You have to put me on, Hardy. And you just said, like, shut up.
Can I tell that story?
Yes.
Yeah. We're playing Austria. It's absolutely freezing. I don't know if you remember, Jimmy, but it was freezing.
Yeah.
It was cold. And Jimmy's on the bench. I'm the assistant to Frank. And Jimmy's like, you got to get me on, you know. And I'm ignoring him, you know, and he's just chirping away. You got to get me on, you know. And Frank had made a substitution. And he had already put on a left back, I think. He had already made a substitution. So I said, Frank, let's get Jimmy on. He goes, right, you know. And then, boom, somebody got injured in center midfield. So I said, put him on in center midfield. He goes, what? Frank is like, what? Center midfield? I go, he's a defender. The most he'll do, you know, he'll run around and give us some defending in the midfield. You know, I had high expectations of you, Jimmy. And he goes on and scores a howitzer.
Come on.
We win the game. You know? Unbelievable.
Was Jimmy just like, after the match, just unrelenting? Saying, God. See?
Must have been intolerable.
Yeah, intolerable. Yes. That's the word. Yeah.
I think he stood up and beat the badge and said, you should have picked me or something like that. He didn't come over to the bench and do anything. We've had that before, but no, he came on and he scored. It was a winner, wasn't it, Jimmy?
I scored the first one, and then the second one when I took a shot and it just touched Retta, and Retta claimed it.
Yeah,
is that when it went off his ass, Jimmy?
Yeah,
that story before, yeah.
And then he claimed it. I should have had
something like that, but yeah. You know,
gotta find that goal on YouTube somewhere, I'm sure. You have to find that goal that the howitzer from Jimmy Brennan.
So was it a howitzer? I think so.
Yeah, long range.
Yeah, we had two situations like that. One was against Spain as well, but it wasn't you, it was Sandro.
Yeah,
we'll find that. The story gets better every year, he tells
you. Yeah. Hey, Craig, we'll find it on YouTube, and then you can do some analysis and break down what the goalkeeper did wrong.
Yeah.
To miss it. Listen, Stephen, we should get Stephen on more often, right? Don't you think?
Well, plus he's going to be paying us that therapy
session. Yeah, yeah.
So anything else
you want to get off your chest, Stephen? You just let us know, and we'll get you on the show, and you can download on us.
Yeah, plus, I didn't even get a chance to talk about my sister-in-law, Mary Beth Bowie, calls you her favorite coach of all time. She adores you. And she told me a story about when you were coaching them in Canada Games. And you took them to Bucky Dent's baseball camp in Florida. So I wanted to ask you about your unorthodox training regimes, but we can get to that another time.
That's good. We could get time now. Why not now?
Yeah. Okay.
No, we wanted to have a training camp in Florida, and we got offered to be at Bucky Dent's. You know, and it was baseball, but it had the residence and all of that. And they had a beautiful pitch, like gorgeous, you know, and it was marked. So they kind of showed up, dropped all the paint and everything there and said, you guys mark it. Yeah. We had to mark our own field before we played at a couple of universities, some exhibition games. So I think we played a boys youth team and a university women's team, but we had to mark. Never mark a field in my life. So yeah, that was quite an experience, but we sort of Bucky Dent chose us, you know, budget was tight, and you know, they had a sort of residence and a nice feel, and so we went there, you know. And I think they had a good time because, it's Florida.
Now, Steven is one of those guys in football there. You can't find anyone saying a bad word about him, honestly. No. It really is. So if there is someone out there, please let us know. And we'll bring you on.
Oh, you're going to get a lot.
Stephen, thank you so much. This, Matt, that's really great as always. And yeah, like I said, we'll get you back on again 100%. Obviously, it's a big summer coming up for Canada, and obviously, as the head coach search goes on, we think there's a lot of storylines evolving out of that narrative. So thank you so much as always.
Thanks, guys. Thank you. Nice to see you all.
Cheers, Hardy.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Stephen Hart, yes, legend of Canadian football. That was fascinating, wasn't it? Great inside story into what happened that day. And I think the fans would appreciate that because there's so much more to every story. We know that.
Yeah, and, there really is. There really is. And, you know, when you talk about players and you just mentioned, Amy, about, you know, being at the Stephen being their favorite coach, that really happens quite a bit with Stephen. The respect that players have that have played under him at all levels have got the utmost respect for Stephen Hart. Yeah. He's a fantastic coach and a fantastic guy all around. Yeah. Really, really.
You went 100%. I mean, I was fortunate enough that I got to work with him as assistant coach and as a head coach and play under him. And he's right in what he's saying. You know, he always tried to keep a relaxed environment. He was a player's manager. He was always there for you tactically. He was very, very good. And I really enjoyed working with Hardy. I thought he was brilliant.
You were so happy that he told that story about Hume sitting on a bench being the only player who made eye contact with him. So just so you could get your story in there.
No, because it was actually funny because I really did annoy him. And I got to the point where he's like, just put him on. But I was like,
oh, good. It's such a great story. Until I thought,
yeah.
It's good. We also know now we can blame Jimmy Brennan for the 8-1 loss, right? For not showing up.
Not being there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Big time Charlie on a billboard.
Yep. Yep.
Big time Jimmy.
It would have been 8-1. Jimmy would have given provided the leadership that was lacking that day, right?
He would have kicked somebody at least.
Yeah, exactly. Would have. What would you have said at 4-0 at halftime in the room, Jimmy? Do you know what you might have said?
Yeah, I would have been losing it. Absolutely losing my mind.
Throwing things, kicking things, yeah. Screaming? What? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, really?
And I wouldn't have been happy, no.
Were you, Craig, were you doing commentary for that one? I think you were, right?
I was, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that was bloody awful.
Did you let them have it at halftime? I bet you didn't hold back.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was done and dusted at halftime.
Yeah.
And then Kevin McKenna did an interview. I think he did an interview at halftime, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. Basically saying we're done. And a lot of people were disappointed with that.
Yeah, with a rash, I think. We had a rash in Madani on a couple of times, but he actually broke down because he was there on the sidelines, right? Doing that game as well, and he was.
And the experience that he talks about was something else. I don't think he had ever seen anything quite like it.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, there's a book in there or a document. Oh, Wunger, there's a documentary on that.
Yeah,
isn't there?
Honduras,
we have plans. We
never come back.
You might want to workshop the title a bit.
Fuck you. I didn't know I was going to be thrown under the bus work, that quickly.
Working title, fuck you, Dubs.
That's right.
I love it. All right, everyone. Anything else you want to get to? It's a long show today. It's well worth it, of course. We're back on Friday. We have before Friday's show, of course, MLS Box to Box, 3 questions with Montreal, which is already dropped. And TFC and Vancouver being taped this afternoon. So there's a lot to get to. Please make sure you check out our YouTube channel and subscribe and follow us on all our various social media platforms because Stephen Hart loves social media. Twitter, Instagram, and the TikToker as well.
And we also have an announcement.
Do we?
Yeah. After an 11-month run, our presenting sponsor, TonyBet, has decided to go different spaces. So we are now looking for a presenting sponsor. We'd like to thank our friends at TonyBet for that 11-month run. All deeply appreciated, a lot of fun. But you'll be hearing less about that and more about FuboTV.com/footyprime. Please subscribe. Yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm just getting back. I'm a little hazy.
The point being, Wunga, is that we are available to the highest bidder for a presenting sponsorship.
Saudi Arabia.
Yes. Tourism. Visit Saudi. We're here for you. All right? That's important. Okay?
We do actually have a new sponsor that just signed on as during the interview. I got the confirmation. I know it took a long time, but finally, Karen's Kitten Coats is come on in a purely... Oh. Product-driven sponsorship. So all
no, Karen's Kitten Coats. I don't like how that shortens, JC.
Coats
with a C.
With a C.
Okay.
Not the clan.
Oh, do they make coats out of kittens?
Well, you know what? On that,
or out of their hair.
No, it's they make them out of kittens. It's that sort of like, and you wear them, you put them on your hairless cat. You see, and they'll be paying us specifically in kitten coats.
In kitten.
So, but Pussy wraps. Get your cat in our pussy.
All right, good. That's a great sponsor. Actually, I like that one. That's brilliant. There's something. Oh, yeah. So listen, we'll still do footy picks, but there won't be a parlay.
Of course.
So,
I always can do in footy picks.
There's nowhere to bet with. Well, So we'll, as we have always done, even previous to any kind of betting sponsorship, we'll do our footy picks each week. We'll pick a game, and that will actually allow us to kind of preview the weekend a little bit. But there won't be a parlay per se, which is, let's be honest, we weren't great at.
We weren't.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah.
We're up.
Yeah. I know. We're up because we had the one great win 1 week.
That's all you need. All you need.
Maidstone. Maidstone United.
That's right. That was one. That is terrible advice, by the way. That's all you need. Just throw it all in one and one will come through out of
leaving Las Vegas with Craig Forrest, Dan Wong, Nicolas Cage. Just go. Shoot ourselves in.
Listen, let's go. Right, we're back. You know I'm back. See you later. Bye. Yeah. Thanks to Stephen Hart. You're the best.
Thanks for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by FuboTV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
There we go.
He's great.
Awesome. He's amazing. Great.